And isn't God good this morning? Lord, we just thank you so much for all that you have done for us, Lord, that we're able to come this morning and worship you, Lord, in spirit and in truth, Lord. Just let our hearts be prone to you, Lord. Lord, that we may lift you up, Lord, in all of our life. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Man, God is so good, and he is welcoming you here this morning, welcome you into a relationship with him. Does not matter how your past looks. It does not matter how your present, where you are right now looks. It's who you are because of who Jesus Christ is. Because it has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with him and what he has done on the cross of Calvary. Last week, we talked about the woman at the well. You know, the woman that was an outcast, a woman that no one wanted to be around. So she came at noontime in order to draw water. But Jesus met her where she was, and Jesus saved her soul. And she couldn't help herself but go back to her community, to her town, and tell people about this man that knew everything she had ever done. Could this be the Messiah? And he was the Messiah. Jesus Christ is still the Messiah today, but he went out of his way into Samaria, a place where Jews did not go because they thought they were better than the Samaritans. But Jesus said, go, and we will lead people to Christ. And many in that town, I believe, came to know Christ because of the witness of this outcast lady. Folks, God is good in our lives, and we can know and understand that there's no one that is too good for God. There is no one that is too low for God. God is there for everyone. That's why I picked this verse this week. You know, that he came, that Jesus came to seek and to save those which were lost. Man, he came to save everyone, to give everyone that opportunity to have a life with Jesus Christ, to have that relationship with him. So just memorize that verse and just plant it into your heart and know that everyone matters to Jesus. Everyone matters to Jesus. From our littlest to our oldest, to the drug addict on the street, to the one who sits in the pew on every Sunday and every Wednesday, he cares for all of us. And he desires that we all to have a relationship with him. Because you know that every person that I just mentioned, the oldest, the youngest, the drug addict, the one who sits on church each and every Sunday, all of them, they're lost in all of them. We need to know and pursue Jesus. And it's even the unlikely, the ones who are persecuting and are against the church, Jesus Christ is here to seek and to save them also. So we can't write anyone off for Jesus, because if Jesus hadn't wrote them off, we can't write them off. And we don't know what Jesus has done. We know that he has died on the cross and he has given his life for them on the cross through the shedding of his blood. But as we look at this story of a guy by the name of Saul, but we're in the New Testament, not Saul in the Old Testament, but the king, the first king of Israel, but Saul that became Paul. If you go to Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 9 is the story of Paul's conversion, but you can step back to the end of chapter 7 of the book of Acts, and you can see where Paul, or let me rephrase that, Saul was holding the coats of the men that were stoning Stephen to death because Stephen was preaching the gospel. And then it starts off verse 8 by saying that Paul was for them killing Stephen because he was preaching Jesus. And that's something we need to look at, that there are people in our world that are against Christ. There are people in our world that are preaching or teaching people that Jesus is not the way, that you can live other alternative lifestyles and it's all right. But Jesus went to Paul and he transformed his life, or Saul. I'm going to get that mixed all up because we ain't to Paul yet. We're still on Saul. Saul was his name, his Hebrew name that was given to him. But we see Paul was one that was persecuting the church. It says, starts off in chapter 9, verse 1. It says, then Saul, still breathing threats and murders against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogue of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way. Notice the W in way. Have you ever noticed that W in way? What is that W? Look at it. It's capitalized. What does it mean whenever we have a word in the Gospels, you know, a word in God's Word, you know, that is capitalized? It means it designates it to be deity. If it's a word like this, the Word, the way. I'm not talking like, you know, Damascus, you know, which is a city, or someone's name. You know, I'm talking about these things that describe who Jesus is. What does Jesus say in John? I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. And then what does it say that Saul was saying? He says that he is trying to find those who were of the way, of the direction, the ones who were following after Jesus Christ. Not after the Father, not after Allah, after Jesus Christ. Paul believed that he was following God's law, or following God, you know, by killing these people that were following after Jesus. He had missed it, like the Sadducees and the Pharisees and religious leaders of that day. He had missed Jesus, of who Jesus truly was. And Paul was a man that was very smart. Paul was a man that was taught under, you know, one of the chief Pharisees, you know, I can't remember his name. What is his name? I'll think of it. It'll come in a second. It don't really matter this, but he was taught by a very high person, you know, within, you know, the religious leaders of the church or the people of that day. You know, and Paul, he knew the Old Testament, but he missed it. But we see Sadducees and the Pharisees of that day, they're the ones who had Jesus put to death because they missed it. If you are not paying attention and you are not looking for Jesus, sometimes you will miss him. Folks, Jesus, his Holy Spirit today speaks to us. And if we ignore his Holy Spirit, we can miss him. I don't want us missing Jesus, because he is here for us just as much today as he was on the road with Paul or Saul whenever he met him. So we see that he was of the way. So we see in the latter part of verse 2, it says, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but not seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by hand and brought him to Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Lord, we just thank you so much for the reading of your word. Lord, just thank you for the transformation of life through you, Lord. Lord, just help guide us and direct us this morning, Lord, to draw near to you, Lord. Let your Holy Spirit do a mighty work in people's lives today. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we see in this case, you know, the pursuit of the unlikely. And that is something we've seen, you know, last week also. But it's the whole theme of this series is everyone is welcome. And that means everyone. As I said last week, whosoever believeth. I am whosoever. I am the one who is there that Jesus convicted of his sins and was led to accept him as Lord and Savior. And you are too. Jesus Christ is looking and seeking you out to save your lost soul this morning. So he is searching for the unlikely, the ones who we write off as a society, saying that, hey, there's no hope for them. They're just too far gone. I'm glad that I was not too far gone for Jesus Christ. Man, and there's so many out there that you see, you know, in the life of, you know, addiction ministry, you know, that you look at them and think, man, God used them in a miraculous way, and they were addicted to drugs at one time in their life. God can use the unlikely. Saul was God's opposition. He was the church's opposition. I love this where he says he was zealous against the church. What are we to be? We're to be zealous for the church. But he was zealous against the church. He was going out looking for men and women who were of the way, who were following after Jesus Christ. And whenever he would get to them, he would bound them and he would send them back to Jerusalem to be, you know, to be killed or to be tortured or to be just put in jail because of who they serve. And I tell you that Jesus, you know, he had already died. He had already been buried. He had already rose again. And he already ascended to the heaven. But Jesus knew exactly what was going on. And guess what? Today, he also knows exactly what is going on. You know, as we start reading through, you know, the book of Exodus, you know, this morning, you know, as we read through it, you will see how God heard and seen the cries of the Israelites, the ones that were hurting. And I believe that God sees and hears the cries of the ones who have seen the life that they were in, and maybe they are flat on their back in the bottom, and the only place they have to look is up. They see Jesus, and Jesus hears their voice. Reminds me of a story in the book of Luke of the prodigal son. Of the prodigal son that had got himself into some trouble. You know, he had asked for his father's, you know, inheritance or his inheritance from his father, and he went out and he just threw it all away with just living that was totally against what his father had taught him. And then whenever he was broke, he had to go and he had to be in the pigsty, the pig pen, wanting and desiring to eat the slop of the pigs. He was on his back. And he looked up. And he asked, he says, I'm going to go to my father. And I'm going to just ask him if I can just be a servant in his house. And he left and he went to his father's house, and his father met him on the way, and he accepted him in as the family member, not as a servant, but as a family member. And I will tell you, as I think about that, that I think about these ones who are, their life is in shambles, that their life is in trouble right now, and all they have to do is look up to Jesus and say, Jesus, I need you. And acknowledge what's going on in their life. Acknowledge their sin and how they got there. And we in a society, we want to put the blame game. Well, it's someone else's fault. It was their fault, or it was their fault. Folks, we need to learn how to take the blame for ourselves of the shape that we're in, and we need to confess it to Jesus, and he will take it and he will remove it as far as the east is from the west and remember it no more. And we can look up to him, and the Lord will save us, or he will bring us back to him. Saul was zealous against the church. He was there to do as much harm as he possibly could to the church. And he was happy about it. He was just ecstatic on what he was able to do against the church. And we should be ecstatic on what we can do for the church of the living God. Because this is not my church. This is not your church. This is the Lord's church. And the Lord is the head of the church. The Lord is the one who tells us what we are to do within the church. But Saul was against what the Lord was doing. His intent on possession or progression, you know, that he would actually persecute, you know, the church, that his intent was to go out and to arrest men and women and bring them back to Jerusalem. He was there to tell the church that they did not need to exist anymore. And that's what Paul's biggest thing was. He didn't want the church to exist. He wanted to do away with the things of Jesus. He said, we'll just put a stop to this. I'll go out and I'll arrest people who are of the way, and I'll put fear upon people, and they will not serve the Lord. And I tell you, that did not work with Jesus' death, did it? Because what was they trying to do? We'll put this man to death and we'll finish this once and for all. Didn't work, did it? Why? Because Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Because he is the Messiah. He is the one who came to forgive us of our sins. So we need to look at him, and we need to just worship him and thank him, and don't have fear in our life when people come against you and say, you can't talk about Jesus. Yes, I can. People says, well, you can't talk about Jesus, or I'll throw you in jail. And we'll be like Peter and John. It says, we can't help it. We can't help but speak of Jesus. He is just inside of us, and he's got to get out, because he is living water that is spewing up out of us into eternity. So we need to make sure that we are not being put in fear by people around us and tell us that we can't speak of Jesus. And that's what's going on a lot in the United States right now, is people are saying that you can't talk about Jesus. That's off limits. You know, you can't talk about it. You can't mention his name anywhere. Why are they doing this? Because they were like Saul. They wanted to do away with the church. But I will tell you that it is not going to work, because Jesus is going to reign forever and ever. But what was God's initiative? What was God's intention in all this? His intention was to seek out the lost. And that's where we see this, that he seeked out Paul because he knew that Paul could do great things for the church if the Lord got a hold of him. And the Lord needs to get a hold of some people today. The Lord needs to get a hold of some people that they have an encounter with Jesus like the one that Paul had. You know, that they would see the light, you know, that bright light, and they would hear the voice from heaven, you know, and that heaven or that voice would say, you know, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And what did Paul says, who are you, Lord? What do I need to do? And he says, I am Jesus. He did not say he was anything else. He did not say he was Muhammad. He did not say anything like that. He said, I am Jesus, and I am here to save you in your life. He was here to make a difference. And we see this, you know, whenever he opened his eyes, and we can read on into chapter 9 and see what happened. He was led into Damascus, and there was a man by the name of Ananias that was fearful. He says, Lord, I know what you're saying, that I need to go see this guy and pray with him, but Lord, have you not heard what he has been doing, what he's here for? And God said, go. And that's what we have to do. Is Ananias was fearful of Saul. But God said, hey, I did something in his life. So he did not deterred by Paul's past. He did not look at Paul and says, well, I know what you've done in the past, so I can't use you. He says, I know what you've done in the past, but I can use you now. And you in your life, you may have went through a lot of things, and you may have, you know, done some things against God. You may have persecuted the church. You may have persecuted, you know, the people or individual people that were trying to serve God. And Jesus is saying that your past is not a deterrent for him. He can remove that as far as the east is from the west. Why is that? Because God has the power of transformation in our life. Verses 3 through 6 in this passage, it talks about this. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven when he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Paul, or Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said to him, who are you, Lord? And then the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. And this is something that, you know, the transformation of the gospel in our life. And I'd love to see this word power. Whenever we see this word power in God's word, it's the same word that we use today for dynamite. Dynamite has great power to split rocks, to destroy things, to get into places and do mighty things in that place. You know, we as Christians, we can experience the transformation power of Jesus Christ in our life. And with an encounter with Jesus, you know, the blinding light, the voice calling out, you know, we can have a new direction within our life. Have you heard the voice of God calling you? You say, Brother Jimmy, I've never heard Jesus speak to me, you know, audibly. I've heard him in my life to speak to me so hard, so loud within my soul that it was in my head as audible. I know I did not hear an audible voice, but he spoke to me so loudly that I could not misinterpret what he was saying. Whenever I was lost, before I got saved, you know, the Lord was speaking to me. He was on me all the time. He would not leave me alone. Has any of y'all ever been there? Well, I have. Man, God would not leave me alone. You know, as a lost person, you know what? I wanted God to leave me alone, but he said no. Man, and God, he got a hold of my heart. I seen the lights because I went around that curve at Holly Springs Baptist Church on a Saturday night. Never light in the house was on. And the Holy Spirit was speaking to me with a loud voice saying, you better go in and you better stop here, you know, and go in and get saved tonight. And don't get me wrong, you do not have to go into a church building to be saved. You do not have to come on Sunday morning to be saved. You can be saved when Jesus is calling you in your life. So we see this new direction, you know, from a persecutor to an apostle that Paul had. You know, he was the call to serve. Who is he called to serve? Me and you, the Gentiles. He was the apostle to the Gentiles, to bring the message of Jesus Christ to me and you. That's why we have the book of Acts. The book of Acts is showing the early church and how we can be a Christian. As I heard someone say the other day that, you know, the book of Acts is really not a theological book. All the books that were written within Acts were, which were all the letters that Paul had written. So we don't build our theology off of the book of Acts. We build our theology off of God's Word, you know, in other places, on, you know, Philippians, on Ephesians, on Colossians, on 1st and 2nd Corinthians, on Timothy, on Titus. You know, all of these books that Paul has written, you know, that helps us grow in Him, in Christ, each and every day. The book of Acts shows us how we are to live and the progression of what God did through the early church. Folks, and we should mimic that in our own lives. We should look to Jesus in order to fulfill the direction of our church. So he moved from persecutor to apostle, to someone that was unlikely to ever serve Jesus Christ, to one of the greatest apostles, greatest missionaries there ever was in Paul. He had a call to serve, and he took that call seriously. As we see throughout the book of Acts, we see that Paul went to these different missionary journeys. And whenever he came to the end, you know, he was murdered. He was killed for his faith. He was willing to die for his faith. Just think of that. The man who is willing to kill others for that faith was now willing to die for that faith. Do you think that faith means something? It does. And that's what a lot of people, some apologetics talks about, you know, what was some of the reasons, you know, some people say, well, Jesus never rose again. You know, the apostles knew this, but they hid his body or something. And people would say, why would someone be willing to die for a lie? Would you be willing to die for a lie? I wouldn't. And they weren't either. They were willing to die for the truth of Jesus Christ. And we see the invitation to belong. And that's where we really get to today, that, man, there is an invitation for people to belong to the family of God. He desires that. The acceptance by the community. Ananias' initial fear. We talked about this just a little bit. You know, Ananias was a fearful man because God came to him and told him to go speak to a man that was there to arrest people like him, that was there to take them back, put them in prison, take them back, and kill them because of their faith in Jesus Christ. And God's assurance of Saul's purpose to Ananias. He tells Ananias that he is working for me now, in simple terms. He is on my side. and then the embracing of the family of God. No one is beyond redemption, folks. No one. Everyone has a place in His family. And as we go out this week into our jobs, into our homes, into our community, we'll see people that we look at and think, is there any hope for them? And I will tell you, there is hope. Not because of what I think or what I did, but because of Jesus Christ and what He has done. We have hope this morning. And I pray that you will see that in people's lives, that everyone has a place in His family. We're a part of His family. God is not a part of my family. We're a part of His. We're adopted into, grafted into His family. And we belong to Him if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. So as we look at this message, we've seen the outcast last week with the woman at the well. We see this week, we see the one that was persecuting the church, the one that was kind of an unbelievable person that would come to Jesus Christ. And as we look at these two different people, we can see something similar that they did not fit in with the normal family of God. But they do. Because what we do as Christians, we make the family of God not normal. We make the family of God all about ourselves, that we can protect our own, or we can protect our image within the church. Folks, it's not anything to do with about our image. It's about what Christ desires. And I pray that you, this morning, that you see people in a different light whenever you leave this building. No matter who they are. They may be persecuting you today, persecuting you tomorrow, but we are to love them, and we are to pray for them, and we are to share the gospel with them. And God will make a difference in their lives. And I pray that He has made a difference in your life. As our musicians come this morning for a song, a time of invitation, that Jesus is inviting you this morning to come and to be a part of His family. Doesn't matter what you've done in the past. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that He died on a cross for your sins, and that He was raised on the third day? Are you willing to repent of your sins and give your life to Him? You can be saved today. God desires that. As He tells us, Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. We have a lost and dying world in which we live in that needs Jesus. So let us be the hands and the feet of Jesus. Let us stand this morning as we pray. Lord, I just thank You so much for Your love and Your mercy, Lord. Thank You for allowing us to come out and to be here this morning, Lord. Lord, and I ask that You just use Your word, Lord. Your Holy Spirit, Lord, to convict people today, Lord. That Your Holy Spirit would do a mighty work, Lord. And if there's anyone in this place today that is lost, that has truly never accepted You as Lord and Savior, that today would be that day. Lord, and let us be witnesses for You as we go out into our community, Lord. And that we would share Your light in this dark and dying world. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.